We are enjoying the world of audiobooks on this Wisconsin weekend and paying tribute to some exceptional works this year. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What an absolute pleasure to have the authority on audiobooks with us. Robin Witten, the founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, for nearly 30 years, she's been at the forefront of this segment of the publishing world. Robin's ear picks up on and truly appreciates the incredible talent, the range of audiobook narrators, the power of voice, and then all those finer theatrical details that bring each audiobook to life. What audiobook drew you in this year? Why do you love them? And in the pandemic, are you listening to books in different ways or choosing genres that didn't pique your interest before? Share with us, 800-642-1234. Robin Witten launched Audiophile magazine in 1992. It now reviews 50 new audiobooks each week. Robin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Nice to be here again.
Well, sales of hard copy books have been up and down during the pandemic, a bit uneven. What has the pandemic done to the world of audiobooks?
Well, in audiobooks, it's an upward trajectory. Absolutely. We are seeing many more people come to audiobooks during this time. And, you know, this is on top of several years, over 5 years of double-digit growth in audiobook sales. So it's just on an upward track. So many more people have found time in different ways to listen to audiobooks in the last few months.
Robin, this is the time when you should tell the whole industry, I told you so. I saw this coming. Give yourself some credit here.
Well, we didn't really want to have it happen in this way. I think that's probably you know, giving more people to have to stay home so they can listen to audiobooks would not be the way.
Right.
But I'm awfully glad that, you know, people have found so much comfort and information from listening to audiobooks.
Yeah, and certainly you have to do a whole lot of listening in your life to get through so many selections that are coming at you throughout the year. Where do you start to curate this whole 2020 list of audiobooks? Because this is a huge undertaking. My goodness.
Well, it is. And it doesn't, please don't make it sound like I'm doing all the listening. That's a lot of listening. We have almost 100 reviewers who help us. They are the front line of listening to the audiobooks as soon or before they're released. And we start at the very beginning of the year ongoing with, you know, trying to find the best listening. We give through the year what we call our earphones awards, mm-hmm. which mean it's an exceptional audiobook. An exceptional listening experience. And so the reviewers are and the magazine are celebrating specific books all the time. And then at the really in October, we have to sit down and try to winnow down whether we can find how we can find five or six of the very best titles within the different subject genres that we look at, which is about 9 different subjects.
Okay, Robin, explain the secret sauce here. What makes an exceptional listening experience?
Oh, it's all in the storytelling, Kate. And the narrators are the ones who do the magic, who make that magic for us as listeners.
So, you know, as a narrator, then you have to do a lot of research. You have to embody your characters. You have to really balance and juggle a lot of competing interests. I would imagine how the author wants it to sound, maybe what will draw people in. There must be a lot of fine lines you're managing.
Well, I think that's very interesting. And just last night, I heard actor Ewan Morton talking about his craft and the way he approaches audiobooks. And this is an actor who's been on Broadway, was in Hamilton. And he said, but, you know, in an audiobook, I'm all the part. I get to play all the parts. And so that's the great challenge, but also the reward for many of the audiobook narrators who take this on.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Robin Witten, who's founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine. The magazine reviews more than 2,000 books a year. We're talking about the best audiobooks that came out this year with your suggestions as well. Are you a fan of audiobooks? What kinds are your favorite? Where and when do you listen? Are you listening differently now in the pandemic? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Robin, there is this one audiobook of note this year, John Muir's The Yosemite, and the book is near and dear to Wisconsin's heart because we believe we gave John Muir his naturalist start. I mean, he came from Scotland, moved to Portage, Wisconsin, and this beautiful, picturesque Portage where he really became one with nature. So this book is from 1912. Explain what's going on here.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Kate. That's a lovely connection. And this is obviously not a new book, but this is Muir's journals. And what's so interesting is that the British company Naxos Audiobook published it. And the great surprise to me when I listened to it was that it's a Scottish actor who's the narrator of this. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't realize that Muir retained his accent through his life. So of course, when this is reading his journals, that's the voice we should hear. But you know, if I'd picked that book up in print, it would not have occurred to me probably.
Let's hear a bit of it.
Long ago, before I had traced this fine stream to its head, back of Mount Hoffman, I was eager to reach the extreme verge to see how it behaved in flying so far through the air. But after enjoying this view and getting safely away, I have never advised anyone to follow my steps.
Oh, I could get drawn into that, Robin.
Well, you know, what a wonderful escape.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, if your day has been disrupted or difficult, and you know, you just put your earphones on and go off into the wilderness.
Yeah. So there are some other great escape books of note this year, and one is All the Devils Are Here, which is the latest in a mystery series. What did you hear in this audiobook?
Well, I loved this audiobook. It's a mystery by Louise Penny, mm-hmm. and it's set in Paris. So there's another escape. She talks about the food and visiting different sites in Paris. Well, since none of us are going anywhere right now, this was great. I love that.
So you really you can take a trip in an audiobook even when we can't travel right now, which is certainly, a bit of that escape going on.
Absolutely. And think about where you'd like to be. You know, I'd like to be in Paris, but, you know, this is the only way I'm getting there right now.
Audiophile Magazine founder Robin Witten has long had the appetite for audiobooks, and she's taking us on the tour of 2020. The audiobook market is booming. What audiobook was your favorite this year or in years past? Is there one you return to again and again? How do you consume them? Is it on your commute or while cooking dinner, doing chores, maybe exercising? Join in all things audiobooks, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Robin Witten here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're appreciating the best from the world of audiobooks on this Wisconsin weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here is the skilled and versatile narrator, J.D. Jackson, reading from John Meacham's His Truth is Marching On, John Lewis and the Power of Hope. It's a moving biography of the late civil rights icon and U.S. congressman released in August.
For John Lewis, slavery wasn't an abstraction. It was as real to him as his great-grandfather, Frank Carter, who lived until his great-grandson was 7. Light-skinned, hard-working, and self-confident, Carter, whom Lewis called Grandpapa, had been born into enslavement in Pike County, Alabama in 1862.
Do audiobooks give you chills, move you to tears? Do you get lost in them and emerge hours later? 800-642-1234. Robin Witten is founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine, and she's our guide. Oh, wow, hearing J.D. Jackson there is so, you know, this is a narrator who has to carry all of that hard and brutal fight of inequality in his voice, where every word matters. What did you hear?
Well, you do hear all that, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's so so intimate in right in your ear, and powerful, every word. And you know, that's, you know, we have to give some credit to John Meacham, but JD is truly delivering that in such a powerful way.
And certainly in the context of the Black Lives Matter movement and the demonstrations that we saw this summer, the passing of John Lewis, you know, these powerful words, and uttering them through the power of voice gives them, to me, it gives them more weight.
I think so. And I think that's, you know, Lewis was an orator, you know, mm-hmm. We know his voice, and it has that great resonance when you hear that through in the audiobook.
This narrator, J.D. Jackson, has done other works, I understand. He's been pretty prolific.
Oh, absolutely. And he is one of Audiophile's golden voices, which is an accolade that we give to the best of the best in the narrators. And J.D. has done, you know, important histories, great mystery, lots of literary fiction. I mean, he's brilliant. Pretty much anything.
I want to make a quick sidebar here on the technology because, you know, technology is always changing. And I'm just wondering, what are you seeing there as so many people have smart devices and that they have their smart speakers going? What are some tips for listening to audiobooks?
Well, I think one of the things that a lot of people have discovered over the last few months is how great a home device is for listening to an audiobook because you're home and you just say, play my audiobook. And you know, you don't have to find the disc or exactly where you are. It just starts up where you stopped, bookmarks it exactly where you stopped listening the last time. So if you have to take a break and, you know, finish that, pay attention to the recipe you're cooking or take the dog out or the doorbell rings, whatever, you know, you get interrupted, you can stop it, then resume very easily.
That's,
and I think
so slick.
At the end of the year, we'll probably get some data that says many more people have listened to audiobooks over their home devices.
We're talking with Robin Witten, editor of Audiophile Magazine, which reviews more than 2,000 books a year. We're talking about the best of audiobooks that came out this year and ways to listen. 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Let's bring in Franco now in Oxford. Hi, Franco. What are you listening to on audiobooks?
Hi, good morning. I've been listening since early fall. I've been listening to audiobooks off of YouTube. And lately I've been stuck on mysteries, haunted houses, ghost stories. Right now in the evenings I'm listening to a book by an author your guests might be familiar with, Darcy Coates. It's called The Carrow Haunt. It's just a great read. And then really, I listen to a book a night and it helps me sleep better. God bless.
Franco, thank you for that. Yeah. Robin, what would you say there? Are you familiar?
I don't know that particular book, but, you know, mysteries are some of the greatest stories as audiobooks. There's something, I think, about the structure, about the suspense, that, you know, just they work great on as audiobooks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, are you juggling subscriptions to get your audiobooks? How or can you rely on the library? How do you get your audiobooks?
Well, libraries are a great source of audiobooks. And many of, because we're already digital in this industry, when the library is closed, the digital library is still open in many places. So libraries are great. There are subscriptions from retailers. There are also subscriptions that can benefit the independent bookstores in your neighborhood through Libro FM is an organization that has downloadable audiobooks, and you choose the independent bookstore you want to support with that purchase.
Oh, that's really neat. You know, some of the audiobooks that are resonating this year are from topics that people are living through, like we had just mentioned, you know, the passing of Senator John Lewis there and his biography. But there's one on nonfiction on California wildfires, Fire in Paradise. What did you hear there?
That was a powerful story. So Paradise is a small town in California that was wiped out in a frighteningly short period of time, a very short period of time, with a wildfire that swept through the town. There were amazing rescues that had to be performed to help people get out. And this is a very interesting story that combines sort of fire science and history, and some very powerful personal stories about the rescues and about the people getting out of Paradise.
How is the content delivered? Is it one narrator? How does that work?
It is. It's T. Ryder Smith was the narrator, and he does an amazing job because he's balancing this a lot of very serious nonfiction, and yet the personal stories that have so much power. This was written by two journalists, and so they reported on the fire, and then they did research about all the history, because it wasn't as if this is fire country, so they were prepared, and yet it was shockingly quick.
The book Cast, also nonfiction history. What did you see in Cast?
Well, Cast is such an important book that with Isabel Wilkerson, who's a Pulitzer Prize winner, historian and journalist, writing about the system that she sees and the history of the caste system, around the world, but how that she sees it in America and what that means, what it does to the way we look at everything we do in the community.
When you look at how audiobooks are being accessed by young adults in the YA genre, what do you see there?
Oh, well, that is the audiobooks and for teens and young adults is one of the fastest growing areas for listeners. So all of the young people are saying, yes, I love this medium. Let me read my books this way. And Jason Reynolds is one of the great, he is our national ambassador for young people's literature. And he connects with young people, teens, actually all of us in a brilliant way. We've been very excited about his book, his adaptation, Stamped, this year, which is an adaptation of Ibram X. Kendi's book, Stamped from the Beginning.
Yeah. And so is that, would you say maybe perhaps even a gateway for younger readers to get absorbed in audiobooks?
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think one of the things that we should talk about is that sort of book is, you know, it's just as relevant for adults. Mm-hmm. It's a terrific thing to listen to as a family because it's a conversation that's that's what Jason's all about. You know, starting a conversation, telling your story. And within a family, that's a perfect place to start.
We are appreciating the audiobook genre, the gift of oral storytelling, with none other than Robin Witten. She founded Audiophile magazine in the early 90s, hasn't looked back. Her magazine reviews thousands of audiobook selections each year. How do you process stories that you listen to in the audio format? Do you prefer audiobooks more so now than before the pandemic? How do you react when you consume a great audiobook? What wins you over? 800-642-1234 to join in. We'll pick this up on the year's best audiobooks with Robin Witten after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're appreciating all that audiobooks have to offer. Notable selections from the year. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. English actor Andy Serkis says he was totally intoxicated as a 9-year-old reading an incredible adventure on his bus ride to school. The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. Serkis brings the unabridged audiobook to life.
They did not sing or tell stories that day, even though the weather improved, nor the next day, nor the day after. They had begun to feel that danger was not far away on either side. They camped under the stars, and their horses had more to eat than they had, for there was plenty of grass, but there was not much in their bags, even with what they had got from the trolls.
What audiobook did you love this year? 800-642-1234. Robin Witten is our guide, founder, and editor of Audiophile magazine. Let's take a call now. Cindy is with us from Sussex. Hi, Cindy.
Hello there. I had a book a while ago, and I just decided to bring it back. It's called Coming Clean, and it's read by the author, Karen Ray Miller. It's about her growing up in a house with hoarding parents, and it's actually about her life, and you really start to wonder what is important in your life when you start hearing about the life that she had. So.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Cindy, that the audiobook is read by the author. The narrator is the author.
And she has a nice voice, and it's just amazing to hear, you know, her side of the story and what it's really like to be in a house like that. So it kind of pulls you in. I've been listening to it at work off and on. I'm in an office by myself, so kind of nice.
Oh, Cindy, thank you for bringing that. Robin, is that not unusual that the author would be the narrator?
Well, that is something, particularly in a memoir. That's what I think we're hearing about here with Coming Clean. And, you know, the author can be a very good storyteller. I mean, they've written the story, of course. but as an oral storyteller, there are a lot of other demands. Authors who have done it will often say how difficult it is, harder than they thought, even though they had completed the written work, that then doing the audiobook was really something else. But
requires a lot of endurance.
Yeah.
Lots of endurance there. And it's interesting too, heartfelt there, that Cindy listens on and off in an empty office at work. Audiobooks are a companion.
Absolutely. And, when you're that sense of hearing the story about someone else's life is very powerful.
Cindy, thank you for calling. Let's bring in Rick now, joining us from Superior. Hi, Rick. What are you listening to?
Well, I just want to a series of books that we listen to with the kids in the car is Tim Curry reading A Series of Unfortunate Events. Just so much fun to listen to.
What do the kids think?
Well, my kids are older now, but they loved it. And whenever we'd make trips back for the holidays or whatever to family, it was always what we'd have on the radio. So just a suggestion. Great, great reader of the book. Tim Curry does an awesome job of the books.
Oh, I love that too. Yeah. And passing time in the car, Robin, by keeping the kids occupied with an audiobook.
Oh, yes. But I bet his kids are going to remember that time they spent and listened to the story with Tim Curry. Great storyteller, wonderful narrator.
Oh, no doubt. Rick, thank you so much for that. You know, we played here at the top a bit from The Hobbit and Andy Serkis's reading of it. What drew you in?
Well, I loved the, what a storyteller. First of all, what a story. Mm-hmm. We know that. But having Andy Serkis do this as an audiobook, obviously it meant a lot to him. He's putting so much of his talent into that story. And, you know, in that tiny clip, I was ready to say, please don't turn it off. Let me go on that adventure.
Andy Serkis has also voiced the character of Gollum in Lord of the Rings trilogy of movies. Is it helpful to have a character who's been in, you know, inhabiting these, you know, this world before?
Well, I think so. I think that's sometimes where the interest comes from a celebrity actor, because audiobooks are a lot of work. If they're doing movies, it might not be, you know, the first thing on their list. That obviously connected with Andy Serkis, and he wanted to have the opportunity to do the recording.
One book I really want to get your sense on is The Sandman by Neil Gaiman. I mean, this is an adaptation of a graphic novel, and it's read by many characters, has music as well, so there's this theatrical component. Let's take a listen.
From a promontory of rock where Lucifer, Beelzebub, and Azazel have brought him, Morpheus surveys 10 million spirits, living nightmares only glimpsed in his realm of dreams. Among them are incubi, succubi, and goblins. There are cambions, familiars, and druids. There are demons of fate, tempters, false spirits, and vessels of iniquity. There are nameless ones, and there are demons who fell with Lucifer.
Oh, my goodness. And there are layers and layers of sound going on there. That's pretty complicated and intricate.
It is. It's an extraordinary production with that amazing soundscape of the music and the sound effects, the layering of voices, as you say, many voices. That was Neil Gaiman himself, who is brilliant and loves audiobooks. But this was adapted, obviously, from a graphic novel, which is somewhat of a leap, but not actually as hard to imagine when you think of storyboards for a movie or some kind of a screenplay. But this was adapted by Dirk Maggs with Neil Gaiman. And Dirk Maggs has a very interesting background with Douglas Adams and all the Hitchhiker's Guides, the adaptions that were done for BBC Radio.
Right,
so he
right.
is, yeah, he's the man for bringing audio drama to an amazing life, giving it life in a spectacular way. That's a powerful listening experience. Intense.
Yeah. And now The Sandman is being adapted into a Netflix series, so we'll have more adaptation going on there before
right.
we know it. You know, why do some audiobooks have a cast of readers or narrators from the different characters and some don't? What is behind that decision?
Well, I think, the producers think about it in different ways. I mean, in audio drama, there's supposed to be, in the case of The Sandman, you've got a lot of other things going on, and multiple voices make sense. It probably could have been done with one voice. It's expensive to have multiple voices. Sometimes producers think that when there are two different points of view clearly within the book. Perhaps two narrators or multiple would work, a female and a male. And, you know, put that coordination. I mean, I think there's a lot of experimentation going on with different styles of productions, just as you would in any theater performance.
Do you find a lot of variation from one audiobook you listen to another on their approach to the sound, on their approach to the narration? And are there some common threads going through?
Well, I think the standards of production and not production, yes, of sound, a lot
production
of new
value.
equipment in over 20 plus years, there's been a lot of improvement. But also, I think the narration of audiobook, I mean, it's a serious profession. And, you know, I think it's taken seriously by the actors. There, you know, everyone realizes how difficult it can be, and, you know, high bar of quality and connection, emotional connection to the listeners. So, you know, that's all good on our end as listeners.
We just get to soak it in.
The other thing is, I guess that publishers are bringing more and more titles into audio. Into the audio format. And that's good because we have more choices.
Robin Witten, editor of Audiophile magazine, and she's with us here talking about the best of audiobooks that came out this year with your selections as well, 800-642-1234. Let's talk Afterlife by Julia Alvarez. And this is read by Alma Cuervo. What did you get out of this particular selection? What was notable?
Well, I think this is a, you know, I love Julia Alvarez's writing, and I think that Alma had just the right approach to bring the intimacy of the writing, but also the power right to your ear in a beautiful way.
Yeah, and really probing, you know, the moral conversation, the national conversation about migrant communities, about privilege. I mean, these are big conversations we had in 2020.
Yes, and I think, you know, in Julia Alvarez's writing, she does it in a way that is important and powerful, but it doesn't necessarily have to have a big performance of that. I mean, it's a powerful performance that connects with you without being, you know, loud or
overbearing.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Audiophile magazine's Robin Witten, our guide to all there is to love about audiobooks. Are you curious about audiobooks but aren't sure where to start? What questions do you have about good gateways to audiobooks? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Robin Witten here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're lost in audiobooks this hour. Here is President Obama's memoir, A Promised Land, published last month, narrated by someone named Barack Obama.
I began writing this book shortly after the end of my presidency, after Michelle and I had boarded Air Force One for the last time and traveled west for a long-deferred break. The mood on the plane was bittersweet. Both of us were drained, physically and emotionally. Not only by the labors of the previous 8 years, but by the unexpected results of an election in which someone...
Audiophile magazine's Robin Witten is our guide to the world of audiobooks. Robin, I understand that A Promised Land came out after you had already put together your collection of the best of 2020. So maybe this was an addendum?
Well, this is an honorary best of the year.
There we go.
We thought it was going to be pretty good, but you know, if we hadn't heard it
sure.
in advance, so we really don't put anything on the list that hasn't been already reviewed and listened to completely.
Okay, fair enough. Let's bring in Dale now in Shakopee, Minnesota. Hi, Dale.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing
I
well.
Just wanted to kind of make a plug for one that I've listened to about 3 or 4 times now. I keep kind of going back to it. It's a big favorite of mine. It's called The Last Days of Dogtown by Anita Diamond. And the person who reads it, I forgot her name. What is it? Kate Nelligan. She actually does all the voices and things, but even though it's just her, she actually does a very good job of inflecting her voice and kind of changing it for the characters. And it's just a really rich, layered story, you know, kind of based on a real place and real characters, but it's a pure work of fiction, but it's really just kind of a delightful read.
Oh, Dale, thank you for that. And Robin, Dale keeps going back to it because it really works for his ear.
Well, I think that is a great testament to Kate Nelligan as an actress who has brought all those characters to life. And so, you know, you want to revisit them and stay longer with them, which, you know, is a great feeling when you finish a book and you think, oh, I don't want to leave these characters.
Great testament to a book. Dale, thank you for that. Robin, how do you build consensus among all your reviewers? I mean, you have lots of ears listening to these audiobooks. Everyone has a different perspective. They hear something different. Where do you build consensus?
Well, I think, as the individual reviews are just written by one listener, mm-hmm. one person. And so they do take a different tack on titles sometimes. And sometimes titles can connect with people differently. You know, we like the fact that we have many opinions, people from all over the country, different interests, different responses to what they're listening to. But that gives us the variety. And to pick the list, we kind of have to hash it out with the editors on the audiophile staff there. But we have favorites.
I'd like to be a mouse in the corner, but
you know, but it's usually not, you know, these we can usually agree pretty easily once we get it down to a few.
Well, I want to end here on the kids, right? Kids are getting lots of screen time right now. Our kids are all virtual. And how can we offer audiobooks to our children where we think that they're going to get hooked? What should we keep in mind as parents?
Well, I think one of the great things about audiobooks for kids, it's a way of extending the time when you might have been, you were reading or still are reading to your little kids, and they love it. It's a great experience. And then as they get a little older, maybe they are reading themselves. It isn't the same experience, but if you share an audiobook, you're still sharing that story. And the aspects of listening to the story, it's pretty easy to get kids hooked with a good story.
Robin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. This was great. Loved it.
Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine, which reviews and recommends audiobooks. She started the magazine nearly 30 years ago. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a profile about a renowned music producer with Milwaukee roots.
Cheryl Pavelski says she was born hardwired to love music because of her musical family. She found an even deeper connection by collecting records, purchasing her first 45s on a trip to Gimbel's department store in Milwaukee. Pavelski is now a Grammy Award-winning producer who lives in Los Angeles and one of the founders of Omnivore Recordings. Andy Turner recently talked with the industry veteran about her musical journey.
Growing up in Milwaukee, with vinyl records piling up in her room by the time she was a teenager, Cheryl Pavelski has always loved music.
until, you know, COVID kneecapped everything, there was an excuse to dance and play music and drink beer probably every night of the year in Milwaukee. So, but for me personally, I was obsessed early on with records, the actual physical things and mm-hmm. how they were made.
She spent a lot of time in record stores, like the nearby Mean Mountain Music.
You'd pop open the door to that place and you would hear anything from Louis Jordan to Doris Day. You know, all these guys hanging around, chain smoking, shooting the breeze, looking like they walked off the set of Happy Days. And then I come in rolling up on my bike, you know, looking for like some Jump Blues 45 or something.
She started to first understand music recordings by trading and buying tapes of mostly bootlegged concerts. The tapes would often have studio outtakes by the artist at the end to fill up time.
You have a favorite artist, and all of a sudden, at the end of a tape, a song you know really well comes on, but it's different. You know, it might be missing something. Maybe it has some different lyrics in it. That blew my mind. That was like the mystery of the universe, right? Like, how did that happen? You know?
In 1990, she moved to Los Angeles to be close to one of the centers of the music industry. Sleeping on friends' floors, she started working as a temporary worker at EMI Capitol Records. Pavelski would work her way up to senior director of A&R at Capitol and remain there until 2002 when EMI made massive cuts. She co-founded Omnivore Recordings in 2010 with the desire to set her own timetable for projects and find protection from another corporate reorganization. The releases she has produced or worked on include albums being re-released, previously unissued, compilations and box sets from Big Star, Little Richard, Miles Davis. There's also Wilco, Townes Van Zandt, Aretha Franklin. Spirit, Laura, spirit,
Laura, all of these things, whether they're favorite artists of mine or their friends, you know, that's always meaningful. But some of the stuff is just, you know, like working on Stax material. Come on.
In 2014, she won a Grammy Award for producing Hank Williams' The Garden Spot Program, 1950. She recently received another nomination, her fifth, for the 2021 Grammy Awards for It's Such a Good Feeling, the best of Mr. Rogers. The historical significance of preserving the music she helps bring out into the world appeals to Pavelski.
That's the most important thing about my job, you know, is to not let us leave some of this on the dust heap of history in the 20th century and hand it down for next generations so that they know about this music, you know.
As she anticipated the Omnivore release of a deluxe version of Wilco's 1999 album, Summer Teeth, Pavelski is delighted by the idea of giving the band's fans a gateway to the mysteries of music that have always blown her mind.
There are songs I walk around with in my head that nobody's heard since they were recorded, and they're hits up here. and I cannot wait to share those things.
Somewhere, there's a song that needs saving, and you just might find Pavelski not far behind.
Andy Turner brought us that story on Cheryl Pavelski, a Milwaukee native and co-founder of Omnivore Recordings. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.